All right, we're wrapping up our series, a six-part series on the profile of prayer from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And we're right at the end now in verses 14 and 15, and kind of tied with that fifth petition to forgive people. And if we're not willing to forgive, then neither will our Father in heaven forgive us. And so we're going to see that fortified in our verses this evening. I think that people who have trouble forgiving tend to be critical and condemnatory, judgmental in their spirit. And the Bible has a lot to say about people like that. One passage of scripture that the Lord has really touched my heart with recently is found in James chapter 2. In verses 12 and 13, we read, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And so our goal is to make sure that we are merciful. We expect God's mercy every day. We need God's mercy every day. And he freely gives it to us. We ourselves should be compassionate and merciful with the way that we work with the people around us. The scriptures are pretty clear. God will treat us as we treat others. And I don't think we often get that, but it's true, and it's a very sobering thought. When I think about that, I think about the ugliness of somebody who's been defiled by something that happened to them in the past, and they hold on to it. And they hold on to it to the point where they become unforgiving, vindictive in their spirit. They get so hardened that they actually can stay in a church and they can rationalize the reasons for being that way. And they can make it sound spiritual, their attitude, which is not spiritual at all. They're bringing reproach upon the name of Christ. You can see it in their face, their deportment, their demeanor. They don't have a tender heart when it comes to the things of the Lord. The heart of every true believer is adorned with the beauty of this idea of a forgiving spirit. And that's why we're closing our series with this idea of forgiveness, because without that, we're not going to reach heaven with our prayers. And so it becomes very, very important for us. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 say, the Lord Jesus, of course, speaking, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Okay, let's try to orient ourselves where we're at now. The Lord's Prayer has six petitions in it. The first three petitions are related to God. The second three petitions are related to man and his good. So the glory of God in the first half, the good of people, his people, in the second half, the children of God. And so the fifth request in verse 12, you remember, asking the Father to forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, that idea of proportional forgiveness that we talked about. We understand that in order to be a saved person, all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and even the future sins that you will commit. But that's not what the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. Even in human relationships, we understand this, right? If we have a relationship with someone, we know that we're going to have to be forgiving from time to time. If I hurt my wife's feelings because I'm in a horrible mood on a particular day, I know in my mind that my wife will forgive me. But the problem is, I can't presume upon that knowledge, right? I can't presume upon her just steadfast trust in the Lord and the fact that she is willing to be good and merciful toward me. I have to come to her, acknowledge my foul mood, and ask her to forgive me. That's the way it works if we're going to have a good marriage, or even I've had to do that with my sons, ask them to forgive me for times when I've been angry with them. So I know that God is good. I know that God is merciful. I know that God is a forgiving God. And so what I think happens when we know that he's merciful and compassionate toward us, we tend to kind of skip over this idea of coming to him for the forgiveness that we need. We take advantage of the fatherly orientation that he has toward us. And that's not a good thing. When I hurt the Lord, I have to acknowledge that and then ask him to forgive me. And it seems like every day the Spirit of God is really bringing an emphasis into my life that this is an area where you're hurting me, where you're grieving me. And so quickly, I want to make sure that I acknowledge it, ask him to forgive me, so that I can have that blessed peace that the Spirit sows in the hearts of those who are forgiving and in the hearts of those who seek forgiveness from the Lord. I don't want to take, in other words, the forgiveness of God for granted. Now, if I bring that analogy a little bit further with my wife or farther with my wife, if my wife will not forgive my foul mood, let's go to her end of things. If she just is bitter about it and spiteful about it and she's holding on to it, well, then the Bible's pretty clear here. The Father will not forgive her. But remember, he's still her Father. All right? The Lord never stops being her Father. You're either a child of God or you're not. You don't fall in and out of being a child of God. You have a relationship with the Lord or you don't. And if he's your Father, he will always be your Father. But we've got this willfulness and the stubbornness from time to time in us that's part of our sin nature. And we hold on to things. And what we do when we hold on to things is we effectively alienate God from our relationships. We don't have a good relationship with the Lord, so we don't have a good relationship with people around us. So Jesus, he's teaching us in these verses that if our relationships on earth are not right, then our relationship with our Father in heaven won't be right. So what do we need to do? We need to do everything possible to make our relationships with other people right so that our relationship with the Lord can be right. So if we've offended someone, or if we ourselves have been offended by someone, then we need to reconcile our earthly relationships as best as we can before we go to the Lord and offer our sacrifices of praise to him. That's the clear teaching of God's word. And if you're going to have a thriving relationship with the Lord, you're going to have to make sure that you keep short accounts with him and with the people around you. If we see Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 in this light, then we don't have any interpretive problems with the passage. And we very easily see that this is talking about relational forgiveness. And it is separate from this idea of being positionally forgiven when we are saved and we become a child of God. That happens one time, and all of your sins are gone. Those teachers that are out there that are saying that you never have to confess your sin once you confess way back here and you're saved, they don't know what they're talking about. Verses 14 and 15 say very clearly here that we need to seek forgiveness. We need to be willing to grant forgiveness to the people around us. So forgiveness is something that really restores broken relationships. It really means that I'm no longer going to allow these feelings of resentment to govern my thinking or control me. And a good way to put it is I'm dismissing this. It's not that I never remember it. There are things that people have done to me that have been deeply wounding and hurtful. And it'll come up in my spirit from time to time. But what I have to say is, Lord, now I can't dwell on this. I've got to dismiss it again because I've already forgiven this person. Or in some cases, Lord, I have a spirit of forgiveness toward them. They just haven't sought it out yet, right? Because you can't seal the deal until the person comes to you, right? Or you try to go to them and they won't have anything to do with you. There are a lot of people in my life, they just kind of walled me off. I've tried to go to them and they won't hear me. I'm not going to allow them to kill my spiritual life by maintaining a position of bitterness toward them. Or even do something worse, and that is disparage them with others. This is something that we have to be very careful about doing. So the Bible uses this idea of forgiveness as releasing someone. That's what remission is all about. As a matter of fact, when we learn our Greek verb stems, and I minored in ancient languages in Bible school, when we do that, we use the word luo to loose in order to memorize all of those verb stems. Well, that idea of loosing is a good good way to think about it. I'm letting go. I'm not going to allow this to control me. I'm not going to let it cause me to reel away in anger and bitterness and feel malice toward this person. I'm going to let it go. I'm no longer going to be tethered to the earth by people here. I'm going to be tethered to heaven, to my heavenly Father, and I'm going to have a flourishing prayer life because I have a forgiving spirit. That's what this passage is teaching us. In the Luke passage, in Luke 6:37, Jesus put it this way. He said, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So if you are merciful as God is merciful, the text is teaching us that you will have a God that deals mercifully with you. So it has to be true of you in order for it to be true in your relationship with God. And I think a lot of people don't get that. If I have a judgmental attitude toward other people and I'm not merciful toward them, then neither will my Heavenly Father be merciful with me, and He will be quick to judge and bring lots of chastening into my life. So this is a very clarifying thing, and it's something that teaches me that I shouldn't be condemnatory when it comes to other people. I don't want to disparage them, speak sarcastically about them. When you start doing that, it's an indication that you are harboring ill will toward that person. And a lot of times, people don't want to go and get things right. And that's a mark of being unforgiving as well. We got to get over that, or we're not going to have a thriving church. We have to let go of this sin to be effective in our prayer lives. That's what's important here. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Are we going to have a complaint against one another? All the time, it's going to happen. But we bring that to the Lord, and we talk to the person involved, and we tell them how much they hurt us, and we try to make that relationship right, the best that we know how and the best that we can do. So I want to finish with three marks of beauty in this idea of forgiveness. And there are many more things that could be said about this, but these three are rather striking. Forgiveness is a daily mindset. That is, I ought to know myself well, right? I think that it's very easy for me, and I'm sure I share this with others, but it's very easy for me to allow pride and self-centeredness and just stubbornness into my life. And so my tendency is toward my comfort, right? It's toward not having any friction in my life or toward my advancement. I'm thinking about myself all the time. And when you're thinking about yourself all the time, you're running over other people. You're communicating a lack of caring, a lack of compassion for the people around you. It is true that we know that we have to be compassionate with family members and maybe with the pastor if he's coming over for dinner, or maybe with a few friends that we have that we're close to. But we're supposed to be that way with everyone, even our enemies, Jesus said. And so we have to be very careful that we show compassion to all people, even people that are outside of our influence or our sphere of friends. We have to show kindness and tender mercies, humility, like it says in Colossians 3. Meekness is that sense of power under control. That's just that control is something that's gentle. I mean, it can be dagger-like, but it's gentle. It can be something that wounds us in the right way. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Something that really cuts to the core, but it's something that we need, almost like a surgery, right? Something that helps us, that's beneficial, that will heal. And so we need to decide every day to bear with the people that are around us and to forgive them, because Christ forgave us. And so we also must forgive them. Secondly, forgiveness is also an attitude on display. I think on Sunday I used the word deportment and people didn't understand what I was saying. The idea is the way you present yourself, your attitude. And Pastor Mincy, I can remember him telling me to come into his office. I had said the right things to someone, but he told me, you need to pray about your face. He would tell me that all the time. Pray about your face. And what he meant was my deportment. I mean, I was always intense and so austere, and so it caused problems. I would deliver the right words, especially when I was preaching. He would say, pray about your face. People aren't receiving you very well. So the idea was I had to be broken, too, in order to preach effectively. And I think that that's very, very important. I think that we have to have the attitude where we're not a wall, where we close people off. We've got to let them in. If you're going to have a relationship, you have to risk getting hurt. I'm sorry to say it's going to happen. You're going to be hurt by people around you. But just think about the Lord Jesus and how people hurt him. I mean, think about all of the time that he poured into the 12 during those 3 years and what they did at the end. One betrayed him. The other denied him. All of them ran away. It's just amazing. That would have been very hard for him. And yet he loved them. He came back and restored all of them to ministry. And it's upon their doctrinal foundation that we've built our church here today. And so God can do great things even with people who make dreadful mistakes in life. We got to make sure that we get inside, that we don't have a retaliatory attitude. The only one justified, by the way, in retaliation or exacting vengeance is Jesus. He's justified in doing that, but he hasn't. He has chosen to forgive us if we go to him. And so we don't have that right. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We don't have the right to take it out on people. And yet we see this happening from time to time, even in churches. Number three, forgiveness is a guiding principle throughout your life. It's got to be there all the time. We can't allow, that's what's going to guide you, forgiveness. And forgiveness is a decision you make. If you allow your feelings to govern you, you will never forgive. You're going to always have hard feelings toward people, but you have to do what is right as God has revealed it to you. You obey your Father step by step, and then feelings come along afterward. You can't allow feelings to govern your life. Or you'll never get over abuse in the past or something that was deeply wounding in your past. God can bring you through that. God can help you. He can give you hope. Believe me, I speak from experience. So there's this gentleness that God wants all of us to have. We have to consider ourselves, as we read in Galatians chapter 6, so that we can be effective in our ministry. So let me wrap it up by saying, your Father in heaven calls upon you to forgive the people around you. If you will not extend that forgiveness, our text tonight is telling us there's something deeply wrong in your spiritual life. What I want to say is, if you never really are following through forgiveness, it could be because you are fake. That is, you don't really know the Lord. Because I speak from experience. The closer I get to God, the more I'm exposed to his word, the more I'm in prayer, the more I'm very sensitive about these things. But if I never had a hunger or a thirst for prayer or for the word of God, and I could just treat people like dirt and not ever feel poorly about that, well, that might be an indicator that you don't belong to the Lord Jesus, that you're not his child. Remember, one of the 12, John chapter 6, verse 70, says, was a devil. And that was Judas Iscariot, of course. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, it says of Judas that he fell and went into his own place. What place is that? Perdition, hell. He's the son of perdition. He's in hell today, even though he spent 3 years personally with Jesus. Think about that. That means that there can be people who spend a lot of time in our church that faithfully attend the services and never know the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the indicators that they don't belong to him is that they don't have a forgiving spirit. They are actually a child of hell. Now, I expect Christian brothers and sisters to forgive me, but I don't expect people in the world to forgive me. But from my perspective, I forgive all people. My spirit is a forgiving spirit to all people, even unbelieving people. And so I think that we all should be that way. Forgive the people that do us wrong. Where it's really hurtful is when it's somebody that's close to you. All right? And David talks about that in the psalm with Ahithophel, my own familiar friend. That's when it's exceptionally wounding. So we need to make sure that we go to one another, close the gaps, and start all over again, going to clear the air. If we'll do that, then we'll be clothed with the beauty of forgiveness. These are garments of praise that the psalmist talks about, robes sewn with the material made out of mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and all of these things that are listed here in Colossians 3. And this idea of forgiveness, that's the spirit that's working in us. But wherever foolish men are, the Bible teaches us we must silence them by doing what? Good. And one of the good things that we can do is be forgiving and be willing to extend forgiveness too. Sometimes there have been times in my Christian life where I've offended unbelieving people. And I've had to say something along this line. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. I did something that was really, really wrong toward you. I wanted you to know that, and I just would ask that you'd forgive me for it. And you'd be surprised. The Lord can use that to help you witness to people like that, people that you've wounded or offended, and maybe even lead to Christ. So we need to be good. May the Lord help us in his great work this evening by being willing to extend forgiveness before we pray. All right? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We pray for your help and for your strength as we face the days ahead. We need each other, Lord. We need each other so desperately because we live in a world that is hurtful and spiteful. We just have to look at social media or maybe be out in our job to see it, where people are treating one another like dirt, even driving on the freeways. People are so insensitive and angry. They yell profanity, and they're just swept away by hate and vitriol. Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us to be different, to be separated believers, separated for a holy life, a life that pursues godliness and the glory of ministry. And Lord, we pray that being forgiving will be another step toward that end. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, does anybody need a...